Right now, worry has become epidemic in our society. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Monday, and God wants us to remember that nothing can happen to us today that we and God together cannot handle. And if you believe that, you can sigh a sigh of relief. You can get that monkey off your back, 1,000 pounds off your chest. I'm not saying your life is going to be easy. I'm saying that you don't have to dread facing whatever today, this week, this month, this year, this lifetime brings by yourself, right? If you believe God loves you, if you believe Jesus is alive and well right now and working behind the scenes, but working nonetheless to bring about the ultimate victory, to bring about thy kingdom come as we pray in the Our Father, to bring about your possibility, if you cooperate, of getting to heaven one day, then you can sigh that sigh of relief. Because, as I said in the opening line of today's program, worry has become epidemic. The stress in our country is incredible. More people die of stress than I think any other disease. Yes, I know that heart disease is the number one killer in our country, but how much of that heart disease has been caused because of people living in constant stress with anxiety and dread? So let's pray the prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, replace the tension within me with a holy relaxation. Replace the turbulence within me with a sacred calm. Replace the anxiety within me with a quiet confidence. Replace the fear within me with a strong faith. Replace the bitterness within me with the sweetness of grace. Replace the darkness within me with a gentle light. Replace the coldness within me with a loving warmth. Replace the night within me with your day. Replace the winter within me with your spring. Come, Holy Spirit. And as the Spirit of God comes into our life, because we invited the Spirit to come into our life, then the Spirit of God, our advocate, the paraclete, our defense attorney, all those titles that we can give the Holy Spirit will work powerfully, but it's always by invitation. God will not come to our life uninvited. He stands at the door and knocks, that powerful scene, picture, image from the book of Revelations. Open the door, folks. Open the door and let the Spirit help you deal with the stressful situations you find in your marriage, with your family, because of your job, because of health or aging issues. So you probably know by now that every Monday this year I am devoting to how to handle worry. If you don't know how to fight worry, you're going to die young. Okay? So I want to give you examples, because I wouldn't blame you if you said to me right now, well, it's easy for you to say don't worry. Well, it's not all that easy to say. Obviously, I have stressful situations in my life too. But nonetheless, if we hand it over to God, God can work powerfully in our life. But because I don't want to come across as a Pollyanna, each Monday I'm sharing with you some stories about people who had lots of reason to worry, was being eaten up by the worry, and then chose to let go of the worry and the anxiety and the dread. And I give most of my examples from a book by Dale Carnegie entitled How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. Here's today's example. Quote from Carnegie. I shall never forget one night when Marion J. Douglas was a student in one of my classes. I've not used his real name. He requested me, for personal reasons, not to reveal his identity. But here is his real story as he told it to the class. He told us how tragedy had struck at his home. Not once, but twice. The first time, he had lost his 5-year-old daughter, a child he adored. He and his wife thought they couldn't endure the first loss, but as he said, 10 months later, God gave us another little girl, and she died in 5 days. The double bereavement was almost too much to bear. I couldn't take it, this father told us. I couldn't sleep, I couldn't eat, I couldn't rest or relax. My nerves were utterly shaken, and my confidence gone. At last he went to doctors. One recommended sleeping pills and another recommended a trip. He tried both, but neither remedy helped, he said. My body felt as if it were encased in a vise, and the jaws of the vise were being drawn tighter and tighter. The tension of grief, if you've ever been paralyzed by sorrow, you know what he meant. But thank God I had one child left, a four-year-old son. He gave me the solution to my problem. One afternoon as I sat around feeling sorry for myself, he asked, Daddy, will you build a boat for me? I was in no mood to build a boat. In fact, I was in no mood to do anything. But my son is a persistent little fellow. I had to give in. Building that toy boat took about 3 hours. By the time it was finished, I realized that those 3 hours spent building that boat were the first hours of mental relaxation and peace that I had had in months. That discovery jarred me out of my lethargy and caused me to do a bit of thinking, the first real thinking I had done in months. I realized that it is difficult to worry while you are busy doing something that requires planning and thinking. In my case, building the boat had knocked worry out of the ring, so I resolved to keep busy. The following night, I went from room to room in the house, compiling a little list that ought to be done. Scores of items needed to be repaired. Bookcases, stair steps, storm windows, window shades, knobs, locks, leaky faucets. Astonishing as it seems, in the course of 2 weeks, I had made a list of 242 items that needed attention. During the last 2 years, I have completed most of them. Besides, I have filled my life with stimulating activities. 2 nights per week, I attend adult education classes in New York. I've gone in for civic activities in my hometown, and I am now chairman of the school board. I attend scores of meetings. I help collect money for the Red Cross and other activities. I am so busy now that I have no time for worrying. No time for worrying. That's exactly what Winston Churchill said when he was working 18 hours a day at the height of the Second World War. When he was asked if he worried about his tremendous responsibilities, he said, I'm too busy. I have no time for worrying. Charles Kettering was in the same fix when he started out to invent a self-starter for automobiles. Mr. Kettering, as was until his retirement, vice president of General Motors in charge of the world-famous General Motors Research Corporation. But in those days, he was so poor that he had to use the hayloft of a barn as a laboratory. To buy groceries, he had to use $1,500 that his wife had made by giving piano lessons. Later, he had to borrow $500 on his life insurance. I asked his wife if she wasn't worried at a time like that. Yes, she replied, I was so worried I couldn't sleep. But Mr. Kettering wasn't. He was too absorbed in his work to worry. The great scientist Pasteur spoke of, quote, the peace that is found in libraries and laboratories. Why is the peace found there? Because the men in libraries and laboratories are usually too absorbed in their task to worry about themselves. Research men rarely have nervous breakdowns. They haven't time for such luxuries. Why does such a simple thing as keeping busy help to drive out anxiety? Because of a law, one of the most fundamental laws ever revealed by psychology. And that law is that it is utterly impossible for any human mind, no matter how brilliant, to think of more than one thing at any given time. If you don't believe it, try it. Suppose you lean back now, close your eyes, and try at the same time to think of the Statue of Liberty and of what you plan to do tomorrow. Go ahead, try it. And you'll find out you can't do both those things. So today, in trying to help you deal with worry, in trying to help us deal with worry, the piece of advice is keep busy. Don't let worry consume you. The more you think about it, the more it's going to consume you. I remember when my father had an abdominal aneurysm fixed. And the next morning, in the wee hours of the morning, the hospital called, said it had ruptured, and they had to rush my father back into the hospital to repair it a second time. Well, I told my mom, you stay here, I'll go to the hospital. And while I was at the hospital, I think she washed and she cleaned just to do whatever she could to keep from worrying about my father. and what would happen with the second operation in less than 36 hours. And I think it really helped my mother. So there's a lot of truth, and I know it from personal history. There's a lot of truth to the fact that if you give up the worrying by keeping yourself real, real busy, it'll be more profitable. You'll be blessed by it. You'll actually accomplish something. You'll like yourself. Listen, worrying is like a rocking chair, okay? It gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. Whereas if you keep yourself busy, the time flies, your mind is directed towards something positive, productive, and you'll be blessed for that. Okay, give it a try. Today's food for thought comes from a Jewish philosopher from the Middle Ages. His name, Moses Maimonides. Here's what he wrote. There are 8 rungs in charity. The highest is when you help a man to help himself. You know, there's so many versions of that, but it's true, isn't it? The one we're most familiar with is help a man to fish. He eats for a day. Teach him to fish. He eats for a lifetime. Okay, here's today's prayer partners. I want you to pray in a very special way with people who have epilepsy. It really takes a toll on people. Grand mal seizures is so hard on people. Dear God, we ask you to please bless people who suffer from epilepsy. And keep them safe, especially if it comes on so quickly and they fall. Don't let them hurt themselves. Don't let them have a concussion. Help people around them to know what to do if their seizure is starting to incapacitate them, make them choke. Father, send a special blessing on people who suffer from epilepsy. Amen. Okay, now today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. Charlie came running up just in time to join his companions on the first tee. Good to see you, Charlie, said one friend, but since it's Sunday morning, we didn't think you'd be here golfing. Yes, it was a toss of the coin between playing golf and going to church, Charlie said. So why are you so late? The friend asked. I had to toss the coin 15 times. Want to contact me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Love to hear from you. I know you're busy, but if you could drop me a note or go to my website and use an email, either one is fairly fast. Let me hear from you. And send me your prayer intentions. I promise you I'll take them to prayer. I'll storm heaven with you and for you. If you can help me keep my hospital for the very poor open in Oaxaca, Mexico, God will bless you and I'll always be grateful and keep you in prayer. Make the check out to TASH, stands for the Anna C. Toller Hospital. Tash, send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. My website is fatherscott.com, spell out Father. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there's hatred, let me sow love. Where there's injury, pardon. Where there's doubt, faith. Where there's despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy.